listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
I'm Bernie DeGroat. A new rule by the Securities and Exchange Commission requires public companies to disclose whether they have a diversity policy for selecting members of their corporate boards. While the SEC does not mandate that U.S. firms appoint more women and minorities to their boards, a recent law in Norway does require that women must comprise at least 40% of a Norwegian company's board. But a new study by finance professors Amy Dittmar and Kenneth Ahern of the University of Michigan's Roth School of Business finds that the forced restructuring of these Norwegian boards has not been good for business.
In 2002, the Norwegian Parliament announced that they were going to pass a law to require boards to have 40% women. At that time, there were only about 6 to 9% of the boards were made up of women. So it was going to require a dramatic change in the overall board composition. They gave them a few years to voluntarily comply, which didn't go through, so by 2006 they required mandatory compliance with the threat that if they did not comply, the firm would be dissolved. So it was a pretty extreme measure in that regard as well. By 2008, which is when they had to comply, all firms had complied. So from our perspective, it provided a great way of looking at the change in board structures. Typically boards change more slowly. This is a huge, dramatic change, and so one, it's interesting to look at the change in the composition of the gender, but also the descriptions of the law spoke a lot, and the press spoke a lot about the fact that there was a constrained number of women. There were a limited number of women that would maybe potentially meet these qualifications, and a lot of companies were concerned about that. So we gathered data on all public companies in Norway, 130 firms listed on the Oslo Stock Exchange, as well as individual information of all of their board members from 2002 to 2008. Which ended up being almost 1,500 different people. We picked up their education, their current work experience, their prior work experience, their age, just anything you can think of that might be interesting. And then we examined what happened when there was a change in the composition of the board. And specifically what we wanted to find was that period of time when they made the big shift with the women. So we looked for shifts between 10 and 25% in the percentage of women, and we looked to see what the value effect was. And we did that in two ways. First, we looked at just the announcement. When the initial announcement came out that they were going to pass this law in 2002, there was a 2.5% drop in the stock price of the companies that it impacted. And I should say that that's over and above whatever market impact that you might actually have. And then we went on to look at, well, what happened when they actually implemented, because at the time of the announcement, you wouldn't have known who they were choosing. You just knew they had to choose women. We found that in the year that they made the big shift, the biggest change in their composition of their boards to meet these quotas, the value of the firm dropped about 18%. And here we measured value as market value compared to some measure of size of the firm. We call that Tobin's Q, but essentially it's the market value divided by like the book assets, you might think of it. We knew there was a value drop, but we didn't know why. And we knew that this was around the time, this was during the time of the change, and we found that it was related to the change in the composition of the board. But what was interesting was that it wasn't because they were women. And so this is really a key finding in our study. It really had primarily to do with the fact that they had this constrained choice. The women that were chosen had less experience. Of the composition of women that ended up on the board, about 45% of them had been a CEO or were a CEO, compared to the men, which were about 75% that had some kind of CEO experience. Interestingly, even if you compare it to the women that had been chosen before the constraint, about 67% of those women had some kind of CEO experience. So it shows that they were trying to change so quickly that this constrained choice led them to have different experience. And the women, I mean, they certainly had good qualifications, but they were mostly more middle management, highly educated, but more middle management. So they just didn't yet, I guess, have as much experience as some of the men. We don't find that the sex of the person is what's determining the value drop. In fact, that's insignificant once we control for all the other differences. So what it tells us is that the pool of candidates of women, unfortunately, is not exactly the same as what the pool of candidates for men was.
Although board members in Norway tend to be more independent than those here in the U.S., Dittmar says that corporate governance in the two countries are similar.
The motivation for this law and the motivation for increasing diversity on any boards in any countries in the United States would be the same is the fact that there are not as many women in top management positions. There's been studies that have shown that there's a correlation between having more women in the board and having more women top management. So by having more women on the boards, it's possible that you can kind of push them up in the company as well. That being said, it does mean that you're going to be possibly pulling from a smaller pool. So you're going to want to find those individuals that do have experience. There are some studies, not my own, that have suggested at least that since women are not part of the old boys' network, it's possible that they may be more independent. And that can be important, but I would still qualify that by independent and experienced in some aspect, either with CEO experience or venture capital experience, but something that gives them insights into how a company is run at that higher level.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.